Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina back with Real Life Mentoring Podcast. We train and equip adults to become holistic, effective mentors in the church and business, impacting individuals, families, communities into the next generation. And so that's why we have Rob Schrader back today. Today's topic, we're going to be talking on prayer. And interestingly enough, we're going to have a conversation about the conversation we have with God known as prayer. So, Rob, introduce yourself. Tell us who you are and why prayer is such a passion of yours.
Well, thank you guys for having me on the podcast today. I am a pastor at St. John Lutheran Church in Berlin, Wisconsin. I'll be honest, I've not always been passionate about prayer, and I hope that I'll still get more passionate about prayer. It's something that I've been really trying to grow in a lot lately, and not something that comes naturally to me, you might say. But I guess because I've been trying to grow in it, it's been on my mind a lot lately and something that I've been thinking about and wanting to talk about. So thanks for the opportunity to do that with you guys today.
Well, you're already going to encourage people who are listening for you to say, I'm a pastor, and sometimes I've not seen the power or the benefit, or I'm continuing to learn as well. So that's really encouraging, Rob. It doesn't surprise me about you that you would say that.
Well, I think, you know, it's something that we all have room to grow in. And to be honest, it's never been diagnosed, but I probably have a mild form of ADHD, and I have a hard time praying because my mind just wanders all over the place. And so I've been really trying to work on that and get better at that. And like you said, the more you pay attention, the more you see the fruits of that prayer too, and see how God is working in that and through that. And that's always pretty special.
Well, in our ongoing conversations, you threw this topic out. So we're going to just sit in the passenger seat and let you sit in the driver's seat and just take this discussion where you want to go.
That sounds great. So I guess my first thought is we're doing this podcast on mentoring. Why are we going to talk about prayer? How does prayer relate to mentoring? And I pulled in a couple of verses to start us off. First, Philippians 4:6, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then Romans 12:12, short and sweet, be constant in prayer. So in my opinion, prayer has everything to do with mentoring. We're supposed to pray about everything, and mentoring is a thing. So it's something that we should pray about. I wanted to ask you guys, how have you seen prayer impact your mentoring as you've done that throughout your career?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind as you read those verses, God's simply saying this, talk to me, engage with me. And so that greatly encourages me in my relationship with God to think, he's just saying, guys, talk to me, let me know what's going on in your head and your heart. He knows it, but let's connect as your God, as your Father, and you're my creation. So concerning prayer and mentoring, I have prayed for specific men before. And God, I think they need a mentor. Would you give them a mind and a heart that's open to me? And Rob, I only think I've asked one young man if I could mentor him over the years, and it didn't work out so well. But instead of doing that, I've prayed, I'll meet a guy, and we're talking and connecting. And if I think I'm supposed to mentor him, I ask God, give me confirmation. Is this a guy you're putting in my life for this purpose? And if so, would you stir in his heart and mind that he'll want this, and he'll take the initiative and ask me? And I've seen that happen again and again and again. That's just the connection piece of the mentoring.
You know, I think that's really cool, Chris, because I guess I tend to think of prayer as like, well, okay, God, I'm doing this, now help me to do it. But before you even say, God, I'm doing this, you're saying, God, should I do this? Prayer is, again, like we said, it's all the time. It's not just while we're doing something. It's God, is this your will? Am I supposed to be doing this?
I have this example just yesterday. I'm mentoring a young woman, And she brought up a topic that she wanted to talk about. And inside, it's that internal dialogue, like, okay, Holy Spirit, you've got to give me wisdom because one, I'm uncomfortable. Two, I have no expertise in this area. Three, I want to make sure that my response is something you want her to hear. And so, not that I'm not hearing her, but the minute she starts bringing this up, like that internal dialogue with the Holy Spirit is going on. And that's where prayer, without prayer, without that lifeline to God, well, mentoring is useless because then they just get me. They don't get wisdom from God, or God's saying, point them to the Bible, girl. You don't have any expertise in this. So my goodness, I mean, just yesterday that happened to me. So that's like my real life current example of how prayer helps with mentoring.
Well, Rob, Christina, go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
No, I just thought about this, Rob. You were on this podcast with us because I know God connected us a few years ago. So you and I met at the gym. I walk in and I think you were the only one up there. We start talking. I ask you, who are you? You know, and you said from Wisconsin, whatever. And we start talking. I actually left there that day and I prayed for you. Do you know this?
I don't think I knew that. That's pretty cool.
I hadn't thought about this until looking at you on this screen today, that I said, God, if I'm supposed to connect with him on a heart level and have conversation and coffee, would you, you know, give him a desire to do that?
And then we did have
that
coffee, except I hate coffee. So you had coffee. I think I had tea.
You must have had tea. There you go.
Be friends anymore, Rob.
Isn't that interesting? It's like, okay, you're talking about leading us in prayer, and God may had me pray for you. God, is this a man you're putting in my life? Yeah. So here we are a few years later talking about prayer on a podcast.
And that's pretty awesome. And I think you guys kind of together teamed up to give us how you've seen that prayer impacting your mentoring. It's something that you use to lead into mentoring. And then it's something like you said, Christina, that you use while you're mentoring. And I just wanted to say to you, Christina, that I know exactly how you're feeling. I pray that same prayer that you pray often, you know, God, please help me in this, because if you're not helping me, they're just going to get me and I don't know how to handle this situation. Yeah. But God, you know everything. You know how to handle it. Please give me that wisdom. And I've just straight up told people many times, they'll come and they'll say, wow, that was really great advice. And I'll say, yeah, that wasn't me. I didn't know what to say. That was God. I was praying while you were talking. God, give me something to say. And he did, and praise the Lord for that. So prayer has everything to do with mentoring, and it's so important in mentoring. It's how we get to mentor the right people, and it's how we get to mentor well, right?
Right.
Okay, when we talk about mentoring, we take the holistic approach. So we talk about the spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, and professional, and or educational at some point in someone's life. Some of those areas are very uncomfortable for people. If there's a particular struggle or an addiction or a challenge, you want them in a mentoring relationship to trust you so you can talk about those things and walk through them together, receive God's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to walk through them and beyond them, right? So I have prayed in times with guys I'm mentoring. I'm getting ready to ask them this question, or I've asked them the question already, and it's uncomfortable, and yet it needs to be asked. And I have sat there silently praying, God, would you help, if it's you, Rob, help Rob to just relax, to breathe, and have the courage to open his mouth and talk to me about this, and that keep my body language calm, no matter what he says, because we've heard some tough things before. So that dialogue is, like Christina said, is going on with God and within me as I'm sitting in front of this mentee, but especially when tough topics need to be talked about.
That's awesome too. So not only praying for God to help you, but God to help that person to say what they need to say so that the conversation can move forward. That's really, really awesome.
I was just going to say, you know, when I'm mentoring somebody who I know has a relationship with Jesus, then I'm in the back of my head thinking everything I'm giving her, I want her to give away to another woman. And so I used to not be as persistent, but I'm always going to ask that woman, you know, across from me, how can we pray? And we'll either, if it's appropriate, pray there together. What can I be praying for you? I'll text her a voice prayer or leave a message of a voice prayer of something she said later. Because I know for me to be connected to God and to have impact, I want to model that for whoever I'm mentoring, because I want her to give that away. So then prayer has to be a part of what I'm modeling for her. And so don't hear me, I'm not praying, so she'll pray. But that's important, and I want her to get that. Just like taking your vitamins is good for your body, praying with somebody is a spiritual discipline that's needed and necessary, and I want her to be doing the same thing.
That's so true. Have you gotten to a point ever in a mentoring relationship where you'll say, okay, for the first, you know, couple months, I always prayed our prayer. I want you to lead the prayer today and give them that practice at actually doing it.
Well, my girl yesterday, I always initiate either the prayer or how can I be praying for you? And we were in a loud cafe and we couldn't pray. But for the first time, she said, how can I be praying for you? Like, oh, this is good. She, you know, so, and I know she will be.
And right there is some evidence of the Holy Spirit answering your prayers. God, please help this person to take up this mantle and, you know, and start to do some of these things. And right there, she's learning and she's starting to do. That's amazing.
Rob, another thing that comes to my mind, because I mentor men, you know, as men, we can, it's a bit of a dance sometimes trying to connect with another man below the surface. And so when I'm in this mentoring relationship and I tell them, hey, I want to hear from you. Give me a text. Give me a voice message. Tell me how you're really doing. And so I'm talking to God about these guys, or God will bring a guy to my mind that I'm mentoring and I'll pray for him. It may be something that I know he needs prayer for because he's told me, or it may be something, God, I don't know what it is. I'm just going to pray for him. But I've learned then to take the next step and send him a message and say, hey, Rob, I want you to know God brought you to my mind, number one. Number two, I prayed for you today. And number three, you're important to me. And I want to tell you, it can feel a little awkward in the beginning for some guys, but you get past that little bit of awkwardness, because a guy who's never experienced that, it's a strange thing. Men, I'm going to say the word love. They love that. You go, why? You were thinking about me. God brought you to my mind? And so what it is, it's not just Chris thinking about them. God brought you to my mind.
So the act of prayer becomes not just something that we're saying to God. It becomes a way to show God's care to other people and help them to open up, feel cared for, feel loved. I've seen that happen countless times in my ministry too, Chris. That's awesome.
That actually gets me out of the way, in a sense. God brought you to my mind, Rob. Oh, I was just thinking about you. That's okay too. But man, for someone to go, God brought you to my mind? Wow. That's amazing.
It points to what's behind you and why you're doing what you're doing.
Yes.
I like that you said, it gets me out of the way. That's one thing that I pray to God for a lot. God, I'm going to mess this up, but get me out of the way and you just do this through me so that they'll see you. Because that's the important thing. It's not about Chris. It's not about Christina. It's about God. That's what you guys are trying to get across to people. And prayer is a great way to do that. So we've just gave it a whole bunch of reasons why prayer is important in mentoring. How have you guys seen your prayer life develop over time?
Christina, do you want to start?
Yeah. I remember I did not come to a faith in Jesus until I was 19 years old. And when I was 20, I thought, okay, if I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to do it with everything that I have. And so I got involved in a local church, and there was a woman, an older woman, who was my Sunday school teacher, and she knew how to pray. And I just thought, man, I want to be able to pray like she did. And she didn't make it weird or fussy. It was just so natural. And I remember as a 20-year-old young woman thinking, I want that. And so flattery is what is it? Imitation is the best example of flattery. So I would just do whatever I saw Ramona do, you know, like how she would pray in Sunday school class, or she would take me, she loved going to the movies, and we'd go to a movie and something would happen afterwards. And she goes, you know, let's pray for that. She'd just stop and we'd pray for it. And I just started doing what she did. And then over time now, I remember as a young Christian reading those verses, you know, pray at all times. And I was like, well, that's ridiculous. How can you pray at all times? But now at 56, I'm like, how can you not pray at all times? Just, but I think it starts off with mustard seeds don't become that tree, like scripture says, that a bird can build its nest in overnight. And I think it's just deposits of, I'm going to pray here. I'm going to develop a rhythm of morning and evening prayer. I'm going to, when my girls were little, anytime we had three little girls at one point, now there are three adult women, but when we'd hear an ambulance, as we were driving, we would pray for who was ever in that ambulance. And every time we'd hear that sign, it was just developing those regular rhythms. And still to this day, I can't not pray when I hear an ambulance, you know, praying at dinner, not because it's rote, but because we really are grateful. And then over time, the more time you spend with Jesus, prayer has just evolved that I can't live without talking to God. I can't live without engaging with the Holy Spirit. So, but it didn't start out that way at 20.
I love how you shared that journey. I know I felt guilty before. Well, you know, I don't pray all the time, but like you said, as I've gotten older, I'm starting to do that more and starting to see that, like you said, that mustard tree growing. It grows slow. Mm-hmm. But to form that habit of continuous prayer, that grows slow, but it does grow. And so if there's somebody listening who's feeling a little bit guilty, just know that God is working that in you too. And it will grow, but it takes time, a lot of time to develop that habit.
Well, and just to show how fallible we are, right? So we had a birthday celebration for one of our daughters. And we just said, whenever we're together with our adult children, let us not leave one another without praying over them. And guess what we did, Rob? We left that celebration and we did not pray. And I did not even think about it until the next morning. And I started feeling guilty, like, oh my gosh. And so we just get to surrender that to the Lord, and you learn and you try, you know. So we're all in process. We're always in process.
Well, and you know, let's be practical. So part of the challenge, we were in a restaurant that was so noisy.
You're going to give us excuses.
Well, hear me on this. It was so noisy. I promise you this. I'm the dad. I'm the leader of our family. Had I prayed, and I actually didn't think about it either, okay? I prayed, I guess, over the meal, but to pray over our daughter, okay? Had I done this eloquent long prayer in that busy cafe restaurant with a 14-month-old grandson going nuts, everybody would have been thinking, can he shut up already? When's this prayer going to end? So what I wish I had thought to do, we go out in the parking lot after it's over.
Yeah.
We gather up and we pray so it can be heard. So sometimes I've been in settings where prayer is almost forced because it's expected. And I go, okay, wow, that kind of fell flat. And so I always, I've learned to check my motive in prayer. And the Holy Spirit does that with me. So for me, part of my journey, I describe praying now for me is like breathing. I'm so thankful I can say this. I don't have to think about breathing. If I had to say, Rob, the only way you can breathe well is to say, breathe, breathe. That's exhausting, all right? We're breathing and aren't even thinking about it. I will find myself during the day, throughout the day, I'm praying in my head, and it's short snippets or it's longer. So I have to go, if we could help people define prayer, it's not just in this closet or in front of an altar. It's not in the church building alone. If we can get that out of our heads and go, you are connected with the Lord through his spirit and your spirit, start talking to him. And so it's like breathing for me. I pray probably more than I even realize.
I think I'm so glad that you brought that up, Chris, because that's where I wanted to get this to is, you're right. Prayer is not always, you have to be down on your knees in your bedroom with your hands folded. It's like you said, it's that connection with God. And sometimes you're just You're just going throughout your day and you take a breath and you're like, I feel God with me. That's prayer. Or you say, God, I need you here. And you know he's there, you know he's listening. Or you just see that beautiful tree or that bird song, and you're like, God, thank you. That's so cool. And it's just that constant idea, that constant realization that God is connected to you and that you're in that communication with him all the time. That's prayer.
That's what it's become for me. I was never taught that I can think of. I have to give God the credit because my wife has done this before. I'm in the kitchen or doing something in the house, maybe cleaning or whatever. And she'll say, who are you talking to? And it's been talking to the Lord. I'm talking out loud, you know, because I'm in the room by myself and she hears me. She goes, two options. He's lost his mind or he's talking to God. I hope it's the second.
It's tough to tell with you though, Chris, I'll be honest.
Oh wow, thanks. But I've done this before. I've been in the backyard mowing the lawn, and that's where I really get to, I talk to God about maybe some things I'm frustrated with. I'm doing something physical, and I've done this before. God, I'm so frustrated with this. I'm so angry about this, or what's this about? I'm actually saying this out loud in the backyard, lawnmower going. And see, I love that. I go, God, I can talk to you in a church where it's quiet and reserved, or I can almost yell in the backyard if I need to.
Absolutely. I think that brings up something important too. It helps for me at least when my mind isn't engaged in listening to something else. And I think we live in a culture where we're surrounded by noise. There's always, you go to any store, there's music playing. You go down the street and you put your headphone in and you've got this podcast you're listening to. Right. And I'm not saying we should turn off this podcast, but I am saying maybe pause it for a second and just have a moment of silence. And then that connection with God, you notice it more when you're not always hearing something else. But that drone of the lawnmower, that's that kind of white noise where maybe you can't, it's pretty easy to pray when you're mowing the lawn, because it's not like you're not intellectually taking something in. It's just kind of that drone of the lawnmower. But I think not always having something in your ear playing to you, singing to you, talking to you can help us to have those quiet moments to pray with God more.
Well, you just made me think of this. So we're thankful and proud of our podcast, and our podcast, Real Life Mentoring, is to give people tools and stories and experiences how to continue to grow as a mentor. However, may we never tell people, go listen to this episode. It'll be great for you in this area, that we would never say that over. First of all, go talk with God about this situation with this person you're mentoring. And then you know what? Very secondary or down the road, check out this episode. But it would never be in place of, humanly, I will go to the podcast sometime of someone or a TV show or a song. Music's really important to me. And I will go to a song sometimes as opposed to talk to God. And so Holy Spirit says, okay, it's a good song. It's even a Christian song, right? Let's cut it off and you just talk to me.
That's good. Can I share with you guys something else that has really impacted my prayer life and grown me over time? And this might sound counterintuitive, but I'm going to explain it. I think listening to God's word has also impacted my prayer life. As the more that I have heard from God and learned how God speaks to me and what God says is right and wrong, the more I've learned to pray to that God and communicate to God like he communicates to me. And I want to tell you a kind of funny story. So we have a three-year-old daughter. Her name is Lydia. And we've been taking time at night before bed to teach her how to pray and to teach her to start praying. And the very first time we did it, you said, you know, Lydia, you say, you know, dear Jesus, and you ask God for something, and then you say, you know, in Jesus' name, amen. And she says, well, we have another daughter. Her name is Elizabeth, and we call her Ellie. And Lydia says, dear God, please help Ellie to be a better sister. Amen. And that just kind of reminded me, we pray those maybe selfish prayers unless we're hearing what God says to us, and we're supposed to be humble. We're not supposed to be selfish. We're supposed to be praying for God's will, not our own will. And as we take in more of what God says to us, it teaches us to pray the prayers that he loves and that he wants to hear. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Makes total sense. Years ago, we were overseas for a period of time. There was just a really difficult situation, and it was eating my lunch. And I had a friend say, "Christina, are you reading God's word?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Are you praying?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Then fear should not be a part of what you're doing." And I was so offended. I was like, "That is so rude. I should be. This is a difficult situation." She said, "If you are praying God's word over this situation, then you need to release that." And that was a hard one, because I thought, ooh, I wanted to pray according to my will. And as I read the scripture, I'm like, okay, Lord, then I need to pray according to your will. But it also empowered me, because I thought, wow, Holy Spirit, you have certain things that you do. You reveal truth. So would you reveal truth in this situation? It empowered me. It released me from praying my will. And it really anchored me. God's word anchored me that God was moving. I continue to read his word and pray what he says he's going to do, right? And so I'm so glad you brought that up, that we can't just pray, 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 pray. You know, we're holistic, and my spiritual life has to be prayer, but it has to be God's word. It has to be fellowship with other believers. It's not singular. And so I would say those mustard seeds with prayer began with all these other ingredients. So my prayer life has evolved because my knowledge of God's word and with his people, and that has evolved.
And I'm glad that you said that, Christina, because I said it at the beginning of the podcast that I'm growing in prayer right now, but I'm also growing in exactly what you just said, in knowing, okay, this is a really difficult situation, and nobody on earth would say, you shouldn't be worried right now. But God says you don't have to worry right now. And as we pray and release that to him and say, "God, it might not be the way I want things to be done, but it's the way that you want things to be done, and it's going to be done that way. And I know that you're a good God. I trust you. I know you love me. I don't have to be worried right now. I can just release this and let you take care of it and not have to be afraid." And I'm growing in that right now too. It's been a kind of tough journey, but it's been a good journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want our listeners to understand, the three of us, Rob, you're a lot younger than we are, but we've had a lot of years and experience to step into prayer, to grow and develop it, as you said, the mustard seed. So I've made some goofy mistakes. Are they mistakes? It was just ignorance. I remember I think I was 20 years old, and there was this girl at church that I met, and I wanted to date her. I didn't know really anything about her, okay? But I thought,
this is a new one. I haven't heard this, Rob.
Because my wife and I didn't know each other in college. I'm 6.5 years older than she is. But anyway, I remember praying. Now, hear me on this. I was 20 years old. I came to Christ at the age of 9, but at age 20, God really got a hold of me. And I guess, as your listeners going, what does that mean? He really grabbed my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. Says, "Chris, you're mine. I'm asking you to actually live for me now." So I say that because I really was trying to follow the Lord. And in my prayer, I said, "God, if you would like me to date Sherry, if that's your will, you know, just let me know." And I literally said this, and before I'd say amen, I said, "But God, please let it be your will. Amen." And I would cut it off real quick, like I would catch God, you know, catch him off guard. If I slip it in at the end, it had to be his will. I promise you, that woman never gave me the time of day. Okay? Thank God she didn't, because I would have thought, wow, I got one up on God. I slipped that in, but please let it be your will. And then in my marriage early on, I remember praying, "God, please let Christina teach her how to love me more." Okay. I thought that was so mature and developed. And the Lord, okay, in prayer and talking with God, he said this, "Chris, here's the thing. I'm asking you to change that prayer, that she would fall in love with me," meaning God, "more." He said, "Because when Christina loves me more," meaning God, "she's going to love you well." So I didn't know it was even a selfish prayer. My heart was right. But God, like a father with a son, "Buddy, I know you mean well, but you're really missing the point here. And another thing I want to say, what keeps, I think, a lot of people from talking to God, from praying, is shame and guilt. We all deal with it. We all struggle with sin, and the enemy loves to put shame and guilt on us. So if I feel guilty and shame around you, Rob, let's say I did something to you, I don't want to be around you, right? Because it brings that shame and guilt on. It's just the opposite. God's going, you're dealing with shame and guilt? That comes from the enemy. Get up here with me and talk to me about it. Don't let that become a wall between us, but it does.
You know, I just kind of oddly, that exact thing happened in my life yesterday, Chris. There's this gentleman that I've been mentoring for a couple of months. He and I were getting along really well. We were doing some great things, talking about the Lord. It was really going well. And then he just like dropped off the face of the earth. And I'd try to reach out a couple of times a week and he'd say, oh yeah, we'll talk. And we never would. And finally yesterday he reached out and he said, I need to talk. And we talked and he said, I've been doing some stuff I shouldn't be doing. And that's why I didn't want to talk to you. I haven't been talking to God because I've been feeling that guilt and that embarrassment. And so he and I got to pray together and take those sins to God and say, God, we don't have to be afraid to take these to you. We're going to bring them to you knowing that you died to forgive them. Mm. And he told me how relieved he felt after that. And you're right. The enemy wants to say, yeah, you don't talk to God when you're doing this. That's when we should talk to God and say, God, forgive me and help me to be better. That's awesome.
I used to struggle with thinking God needed space from me. When I sinned, oh, I'm disgusting. God needs some space for me. He doesn't even want to look at me right now. I would think that in my mind and I wouldn't talk to the Lord. And that is such a poisonous thing in the mind of a man or woman of God. I've learned over the years, I sin, I struggle. I don't hold on to it. I say, God, you know what I thought or did, what I said.
So let's bridge over to Rob's as a pastor. How do you teach people how they should pray, Rob?
It's a good question. For the first thing I'd like to say is the disciples asked Jesus that question and he taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer. I want to encourage anybody who's listening, if you don't know the Lord's Prayer, get to know it. It's in Matthew chapter 6 and in Luke chapter 11, and you can find it on the internet anywhere. And the more that you pray that prayer and think about that prayer, the more I realize it covers everything. I don't know how it's got to be the Lord's Prayer, because those few, like, I don't know, it's like 80 words, like they cover every situation. It's incredible how awesome that prayer is. Mm-hmm. Just some other practical tips that I thought of. I think repentance is important in prayer, to tell God, I don't deserve to be praying to you. I am a sinner. I don't deserve to have this communication. And just to say, I'm sorry for the way that I've hurt you. And thank you for listening to me anyways. And then knowing that he forgives you. I mean, every time he forgives you. That's the most amazing thing about our God. And along with that, just praying in humility, like you said, Chris, God, let your will be done in your way. And we might think we're praying humbly, and God will teach us that maybe we actually aren't, but just trying to go to him humbly and say, thy will be done, God, not mine. I am good with whatever you want to do, because we know that he knows better than us. Then praying in detail and with earnestness, you know, actually explain what you're asking God for or what you're thanking God for. And I think that's more for us than for God, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit's praying to God what we don't even know how to pray. But I think when we detail it and we think about it as we're in conversation with God, it helps us to think about it the right way. And that's important. And then I think we ought to pray in confidence and in faith. We know God wants to hear us. We know he loves us. We can say confidently, all right, God, this is what I'm asking for. And I know that, again, you're going to do what is best. And the Bible also teaches us to pray, to end our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. And I never really understood that until somewhat recently. But I guess you think about, one king wants to send a message to another king, and you send a messenger, right? And the messenger doesn't say, well, yeah, here, I'm Steve. I've got this message for you. No, he says, I'm the messenger of the king. The king has a message for you. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're not just saying, yeah, I'm little Rob here praying this prayer. This is something that I'm praying with the authority of Jesus behind it because I'm trying to pray it the way that he would want me to pray it. And we pray it confidently in his name, taking that prayer to God the Father. Those were just some quick things I had that I try to do when I pray. I don't know if you guys had any other thoughts that you do when you pray.
I love that. I think we've talked a lot about some of the practical ways. A practice I've started, I don't know, a few years now, is every Monday I set aside a significant time to pray for the members of our family. And I've prayed randomly, but what I do is I love structure. And so I always am in a Bible reading plan, you know, Bible throughout the year. And so I don't make any special allotments on Monday. I pick up like, okay, today I'm reading Luke 13 through whatever, and I'll read that. But before I read that, I'm like, okay, God, you know, I've set aside today for all these people in my family. What is it you want them to know from what I've already been planned on reading? And every single Monday, he gives me something like, oh, this daughter needs this. Oh, my son-in-law needs this. And I leave them, I purposely leave them a voice message. I shoot them the scripture, and then I pray that prayer over them. And that has been an incredible practice. That's been something new that it's twofold. I marvel every time that the creator of the universe would prick my heart to pay attention to his word and go, hey, this is for so-and-so. But then because I see how much fruit it bears in the so-and-sos in my life, you know, when my families get those messages on Monday, they kind of make fun of me like, oh, the Monday message. But I know it's bearing fruit in their lives. So that's just been a specific new way in the last few years that I've been praying.
That's really cool. And I do that too when we have a school at our church, and I lead the devotions for the teachers a couple times a week. And I always just do it based on my daily Bible reading. Yeah. And I try to pray beforehand, you know, God, what do you want me to take away from this to take to the teachers today to hear? And once in a great while, I don't get anything, but most of the time God gives me a message for them. And that's, like you said, it's so neat to hear from God like that and to know that he wants to use us to do his work.
I want to encourage listeners as well. Step into your personality that God's given you.
Yeah.
Pray the way it fits your personality. I used to not laugh out loud, but you're laughing inside. We were part of a church years ago, and you had these deacons, and once every now and then they would have to get up and they would have to pray over the offering or whatever it was. And these are men who did not want to be up front, and they would get up, and they were just down home top guys, just speaking very normal Oklahoma slang, whatever. But they'd get behind the microphone and they'd say, let us pray. You know, it was like all of a sudden it became formal. And it's like, who is this person? And they would use language they would never use. And so I go, let your personality step into it. An aunt of mine who died last year at age 93, she told me one time, a strong woman of faith, but she told me years ago, Chris, I've never read the Bible much. She goes, I've never been a good reader, but she knew God's word. And yet maybe she listened to it on audio. I just say that. Maybe it's a personality thing. Step into that. You mentioned ADHD. These things impact how we go, oh, I wish I could pray and take notes like Christina. Maybe that's not the way you're supposed to do it. So just, if we could just relax a little bit and say, God had made me this way. What can my prayer life look like based on how he's made me?
I had a mentor tell me I was frustrated about something. And I was like, I don't even know what the words are to pray to God. And she goes, it's okay. He speaks your language. He speaks Christina. He speaks Rob. He speaks Chris. He speaks. So we speak whatever language to him. He speaks our language too, because that's that second part of prayer is listening then for him to respond.
That is great advice. And one thing people tell me a lot is, oh, Pastor, you are so good at praying. And I always tell them, it's just because I can use big words that the average person doesn't know. It doesn't make me a good at praying. It's just talking to God. Just talk to God like he's in the seat next to you and tell him what's on your heart. Those are the best prayers, I think.
Well, I think that's a perfect lead-in for you, Rob. to talk to God on listeners' behalf. Let's wrap up this session with you praying over them, those who are listening.
Oh, that
sounds great. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this chance to talk about prayer today. It has been a true joy for me to just learn from Chris and Christina and hopefully impart some knowledge as well. And Lord, we thank you for how you have worked in our lives throughout our lives to teach us how to pray and to bring us closer to you. And we ask that you would continue to do that in our lives and do that in the lives of our listeners, Lord, that we would all have this greater connection to you and take our hurts and our praises to you more frequently, Lord. Help us to take advantage of this great gift that you give to us that we call prayer. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, that's excellent. Rob.
Man, I've enjoyed this.
I have too. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you guys for having me on.
I think sometimes we think, well, that's just the basics, but man, we got to be talking about the basics. Anything else either one of you want to say as a wrap up?
I got nothing.
I've got nothing.
Oh, all right. Well, as always, we want to thank you for listening. If today was meaningful, like, subscribe, share it with somebody. Maybe you've just had a conversation with somebody about prayer. And then if this is impactful to you, if you'd like to contribute to the production of further podcasts like this, just jump on the FahrenheitMentoring.com website. If you go to the podcast tab, there's a donation button there and you can help produce quality content like today. And as always, we want to mention our sponsor today is Commercial Brick. They're a family, and it says on their website that they build like one. Since 1975, they've worked to create lasting products, lasting relationships, and a company where people come first. Go check them out at commercialbrick.com. So as always, on behalf of Chris and Rob, this is Christina. Thank you for listening to Real Life Mentoring Podcast.